Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The Department of Justice, according to various sources, in this case The Guardian, has created a unit to counter domestic terrorism. I figure they had this thing since, you know, the Obama administration.
Oh, no. They had this since 9/11 or before. They're just giving it a name now. And when they give things a name that they've always had and always kept secret, it just means they're going to amp it up and get a lot worse.
They're going to get a budget.
They're going to get a budget. They got a name. Now they're going to get a budget.
Right. Because I know that as far as back as 2005 during the Bush administration, the FBI sent an agent here to Keene, New Hampshire. His name is Phil Christiana, and he is generally his job is to be like the bomb guy. But for whatever reason, they assigned him also to the task of investigating the Free State Project.
Phil Christiana's the bomb guy? You mean a bomb as in an explosives
dude? Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that's strange.
That's what his like normal job is. He was investigating the Boston Marathon bombing.
You know, I've said this before to you. I don't know if I've ever said it on the air, but this is back when I still lived. You know, I didn't live in New Hampshire yet, and but I knew a lot of people in New Hampshire at that point. I was pretty much convinced I was going to make the move at that point. I just hadn't really set the plans or date. And it was 2011, and the Zuccotti Park, Occupy thing was going on all over the country, right? And all over the world, really.
The FBI, every single time, you hear about, oh, there was going to be somebody was going to bomb this, you know, Times Square. They were going to bomb this other location or whatever. It's always the FBI who has set up some dupe, some easily led person who they found through whatever. Somebody tipped them off or they went into the undercover FBI chat room somewhere and said they're mad about what the federal government is doing. And so then the FBI radicalizes that person. Then they give them the bomb that, quote unquote, it's not really real, but they give them what they're telling them is a bomb. And in some cases, they'll put them up in a hotel and pay for them to not have to go and get a job so they can go through with the quote-unquote act of terror that the FBI has completely set up from like the moment go. I mean, they've provided the weapon, they've provided the motive, they've provided the incentive, and then they arrest the guy right before he, you know, presses the plunger on the bomb, and then they say, ha! We've saved you again.
Yep.
You know, it's happened more than 200 times.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. And I would suggest that even the FBI was involved with the Boston bombing. Someone was. The monkeys that were running around the Boston bombing and all the photos looked suspiciously like Kraft International guys. They were the black top with the tan pants, and they had the logo where it belonged and, you know, toting around black backpacks. And it's like, who are those guys? Why are they all dressed the same?
I'm afraid to drive. I mean, I've been not driving for a bit, but the other day I went to the state house, you know, and I drove because my license is all clear and everything. But then when I left and I headed back home, I decided to go do an audit and file the complaint and a compliment and to police officers. And then I left and two towns over, I get pulled over. It's like, it just doesn't stop.
Video where the cop apologized because you had a Montana license plate and he had thought that you were in New Hampshire license plate?
Yes. Yes. It's the greatest thing I ever read in Auto Trader. It was about those Montana plates.
Okay, so but he didn't ticket you. Like, he pulled you over, came up, wanted you to roll your window down. We happen to see the video on Breaking the Flaw, which is your channel on Odyssey and maybe on YouTube still. He came up and gave you a bit of a hassle about rolling your window down. You refused to do that. And he then said, oh, well, looks like you're from, your vehicle's from Montana, so I'm just going to say goodbye. And he actually said he was going to apologize, which almost never happens.
Yeah. And it's funny, that area is notorious for pullovers because they just sit on the side of the road.
You have been off the show for some number of weeks because on your birthday, however many weeks ago that was, you were going to a birthday party and or coming back from it or one or the other. But anyway, they pulled you over and accused you of having been driving while license suspended, even though you had you'd like paid off whatever it was that they wanted you to pay off. You said that you'd paid it
community
twice.
Service.
You'd done it more than once.
I paid my reinstatement fee three times, and I paid for that ticket twice. And they're just messing up in the system, clerical errors. It's a joke.
And you got arrested over this. You were arrested over that clerical error.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. And how did you get this finally cleared up? Because like you said, you were finally driving again just this week. So what did you do?
Just get the reinstatement fees. So you're still considered innocent, right? Like you haven't been guilty of it until they get trial, but like you still have to reinstate. So they can make a decision into court next time we go. Hopefully they don't suspend me. You know, I haven't done anything wrong. So it's on them. It's out of my control. These thugs, the government has total control over our traveling rights and everything. And
just to be clear, you said you paid this reinstatement fee three times. So you were finally able to confirm that they actually processed it, that it was actually settled and that you're no longer suspended.
Oh, I got into a good relationship with the Hillsborough court and the DMV. Like I've called so many times that I probably met every single one of them.
I remember when one guy came over to the Keene Activist Center. I got a heads up from Adamo Freeman, the creator, the founder of Cop Block, who told me, "Hey, there's this guy. He's really weirding people out. He's weirding me out. Sending people's radar off and talking about violence." And I went over there and did a quick interview with him, and he basically just came right out and said he believed in using violence against the government. I said,
"Oh, you have to go."
I said, "You don't belong here, man. Sorry, but you can't hang out here. So see ya." And that was the last we ever saw that guy.
Yep.
And it just seems like that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to infiltrate peaceful movements, and then they just kind of hang out in a violent idea, just go fishing, basically, like we're gonna toss this out there and see if anybody bites. And then, bam, they got you. But we are a peaceful movement here in New Hampshire, and they hate that.
Don't need violence. Nobody needs violence. And a word against violence in a reason, because there's tons of freedom people out there who are like, just get it over with. Let them attack. Let's get it on, whatever. What you don't understand, what you're not understanding is that with cryptocurrency in the picture, their days are numbered anyway. Mm. They're just going to cease to be. That's how it's going to happen. They're going to fight. And they're going to lash out, and they're going to kill people, and they're going to do whatever it takes to stay alive. But it doesn't matter, because they're a cancer with cancer. One of the greatest things about Monero as a crypto, not only is it a privacy coin on purpose with a dedicated group of people who are developing it constantly. I'm in some of those rooms on Telegram and stuff.
Right.
And they are absolutely devoted, these guys. The best thing about it, I think, is that anybody with an old laptop in their closet can plug that thing in, because it's ASIC resistant. It needs processing power. It doesn't need a fancy video card or any massive miner to run it. You can mine on processing power. You won't get much out of it. You won't get much Monero out of it, but you'll help the network a lot, and you will get a little bit Monero out of it. That's what mining does. So
it's neat stuff.
It really is.
I like Monero. I wish it were more popular.
Yeah, if you like freedom and privacy, then you like Monero.
Yeah, the FBI, by the way, hates it.
They absolutely are disgusted. They are. It's more than hate. I saw the look in their eyes when they were asking. Did they ask you questions about Monero?
Well, I wouldn't talk to them.
Okay, they asked me a million questions about Monero. They want to know all about Monero. It's like, and that puzzled me. It's like, what do they care about Monero for? And the one guy kind of spooked me. He looked at me and goes, "You like the Edge wallet?"
That's a weird question.
And I said, "How the hell did you know to ask that?" And he goes, "You're wearing an Edge wallet shirt." I was like,
"Observation."
So we did have one out of that whole serious episode. We did have one little laugh together. I was like, "Durr, okay, he caught me."
That's
funny. You point a gun at a dude at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, he's going to be a little flighty,
a little bit of wacky.
So last time we were discussing how Monero has a 18.2 million coin cap, and it has a tail emission, and it keeps emitting 150,000 Monero a year, I believe, or whatever the
that sounds right. Yeah.
But the point of that is that it'll take about 15 years for it to be less scarce than Bitcoin. And the thing about that tail emission is the longer that tail emission goes, the less of a percentage the tail emission is of the total supply. So it's actually always approaching zero. It's called asymptotic emission. meaning it's like on a curve always approaching zero.
Right.
And it's actually expected to be less than the average number of coins lost per year. So in reality, Monero is likely going to be deflationary because of coins lost, like people losing their keys.
And yep, that happens.
That's sort of the case with Bitcoin as well, because Satoshi's coins are probably lost forever.
Right.
And a lot of people lose their keys as well. So I just wanted to bring that up. It's people are concerned about the inflation. It's basically FUD, fear, uncertainty, fear, and yeah. doubt.
If we're both born equal, and I think most people would agree with that, right? Like humans are supposedly at least born equal, whether or not, you know, you can bench press more than me or I can run faster than you. We're born equal and we have the same rights.
You know, maybe it would make people more angry to say, we're not born equal. That's a government lie. We are not born equal.
What do you mean by that?
Well, maybe it would make people angry enough to stand up and defy the government if they were told from birth that you aren't equal. There's a group of people who are better than you. They say they're better than you.
You're saying the government is better.
Yeah, so the government people, those the goons, tyrants, despots, parasites, thugs, mafia gang.
But generally, humans have come to the idea of human rights, and we like that idea because
it's very feel good.
Well, and it makes sense.
The Constitution is very feel good, but it doesn't work.
Well, the Constitution is a document for running the government. It doesn't have anything to do with human rights. Human rights are
the Bill of Rights, I should say.
Well, the Bill of Rights supposedly respects the human rights, but it doesn't grant rights.
Correct.
The government is just a group of people. So it couldn't possibly grant you something you didn't already, you know. If you've got rights, you're born with them.
Yeah, nor would they be want to protect them for you.
Correct. And so human rights are a good idea. That's why most people agree with them, because it helps us interact with one another. It helps us respect one another and give each other, you know, enough leeway to live life how we want, as long as we don't harm and violate somebody else's rights. I mean, rights make sense. They're a good agreement.
I think a lot of this is this new organization is grandstanding by Biden, but I think it's very dangerous because what he's doing is, you know, government agencies, they never go away once they're created.
That's right.
And every administration down the line, they're going to use this little agency or part of an agency to harass their political opponents.
Sure. Oh, and they have to justify their budget and justify their existence. So, of course, they're going to do everything they can to, you know, like we were saying, they'll gin up fake terror that never existed before these guys were on the job.
Well, these leftists that are currently in power, they've been screaming about white supremacy for the past few years. Where are all these groups that they're talking about? They use it as a label. You know, there are some nut job white supremacy people out there. Nobody's joining their groups. It's a way to label people, and that way when they demonize you and label you as something, then
what was the group you were talking about, Ian? The Patriot Front? Patriot Front.
Yeah, did you pull up an image of them?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's hilarious. Those are three dudes with masks and one stooge without a mask. Like, yeah. That's the good guy right there. He's getting duped.
To your point, Joe, I mean, you're saying these groups, these white supremacist groups, are not having people joining them. Actually, I bet you if the truth were told, you'd find out the majority of them are FBI agents. In relation to this Department of Justice crackdown on so-called domestic extremists, domestic terror, they arrested some people, apparently, including the founder of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, charging him and several others, from what I understand, with seditious conspiracy in the January 6th Capitol quote-unquote riot, according to the Washington Post. Have you been following this story at all, Matt?
I just read about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so Stuart Rhodes, founder and leader of what? You gotta love the Washington Post and their opinionated news piece here, which says, extremist group Oath Keepers. Now, what exactly is extremist about Oath Keepers? These are literally guys, maybe there's some women too, but they're literally guys who swore an oath to uphold the United States Constitution. Usually they were in the military or in some other branch of, you know, the federal government service, and at some point they swore an oath to the Constitution.
It seems to me everybody who's ever sworn an oath to the Constitution ought to be a part of the Oath Keepers by default.
Yeah, if you actually took it seriously.
You know, I can make plenty of criticisms about the Oath Keepers, you know, I don't want to criticize them too much, but it's kind of dorky to me. I think I'm just beyond it at this point. But
Did you ever swear an oath to uphold the Constitution?
I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I did when I became a Freemason.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess, does that mean you'd qualify to join? Or do you actually have to hold a government office at some point?
I think most of those people are military people, right?
Most of them, I think, yeah. Maybe some former cops. I was never
in the military. Do you think there's cops in there?
I mean, maybe. I'm speculating. I don't know the whole, I don't know the makeup of the organization. But there's several counts here.
On duty in the open cops? I mean, just not undercover cops and the Oath Keepers. I'm sure there's plenty of those, too. I mean,
yeah, most of these guys are retired. These guys aren't, from what I understand.
Sheriff Max, probably an Oath Keeper.
Could be. So I've got a list here of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people that are charged in this indictment. Now, they may be coming for more at some point. This is in front of a grand jury, the Federal District Court of Columbia. Counts include seditious conspiracy, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an official proceeding, and aiding and abetting, conspiracy to prevent an officer from discharging any duties. According to the story here at the very biased Washington Post, they say that the indictments were unsealed today. They mark the first time that anyone has faced charges of seditious conspiracy over the January 6th attack. So they've been arresting people. They've been putting them in jail, like the guy with the horns. Remember that guy, Jake Chansley, I think was his name, or Chanley or something? He went to prison on a guilty plea. And so they didn't charge him with seditious conspiracy. So they're going to have a real case to make here, and so I guess time will tell. But in interviews with the Post, Rhodes, a former Army paratrooper and Yale law graduate, who has become one of the most visible figures of the far-right anti-government movement, has repeatedly denied wrongdoing. I don't know if the Oath Keepers are anti-government.
I don't think they are. I think they are actually bootlickers.
I think that they want their boots.
Many of them are boots.
Yeah, they don't like the current boots.
Right.
But they want boots.
They're careful of other boots.
Yeah, they want their boots in charge. He said he was communicating with members of his group on January 6th in an effort to, quote, keep them out of trouble, unquote, and emphasized that Oath Keepers associates who did go into the Capitol, quote, went totally off mission. Unquote.
First of all, I'd like to, the Oath Keepers being charged by the government goes against the Militia Reform Act of 1903. If you're not familiar with that is after the Spanish-American War, the military realized that not all state militias kept to the same amount of readiness. So they reworked things. And by an act of Congress, we now have three lines of defense. We have your standard Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, as our first line of defense. Our second line of defense is the National Guard of various states. Some states have an air wing, other states have an infantry. And the third line of defense is the unorganized militia, which is every man or woman over the age of 18. By an act of Congress, you are the militia. Now, the reason most militaries, all militaries, train with the same weapon is so that in the heat of battle, should a Marine drop his weapon and run over and grab an Army guy's weapon, he's going to know how to use it because they're all trained on the same weapon base, which is why by an act of Congress, every citizen of this country is entitled to own an automatic weapon. And that is not to hunt deer, like Cuomo says. That is to protect yourself against a tyrannical government. Feedback, gentlemen?
I mean, that's why people should have the right to bear arms, in theory.
Jesus said, turn the other cheek, right? How many times you let someone, the left has no problem organizing riots. And the thing that really upsets me about the left, they can't even organize a good riot. They did no kind of damage. So this was all window dressing to stir up the public. The whole thing that Nikita Khrushchev said in 1960, America will never be conquered by an outside power. America will be conquered from within using their own constitution against them.
That much is definitely true. But as far as violence is concerned, the thing you have to understand is the state understands violence. They live and breathe violence. They are prepared for violence and they want
violence. They love it. They can't wait. They can't get enough.
That's what they want. If you are violent with the state, you are playing right into their hands and they will use you as the example for why we need more of the state. And that's what they're going to do with Stuart Rhodes.
Completely addicted to it. They can't get enough of it. They can't wait for other people to join them in it. And you, the best way to win that fight is don't fight that fight.
Did you guys know that, you know, tea tree oil and certain essential oils, they make really great insecticide?
Sure.
Yeah, doesn't your girlfriend use like peppermint oil around the house?
Oh yeah,
we got
peppermint oil, keeps the mice away, she thinks. I think they eat it.
You think it's BS?
Yeah. I didn't tell her, but I bought 5 or 6 traps and threw them down in the basement.
Have you caught any?
Yeah. I didn't look.
Not yet. You got to check those, especially if they're in the basement, because you won't smell it.
Right.
So the scientific name of this tea tree oil is Melaleuca alternifolia. Alternifolia, that's the real scientific name. But the reason that it's insecticidal is because it grows in Australia. It grows in the tropics. So in
I don't
order,
know if that's the reason.
Well, the whole thing is that eucalyptus is a tropical tree. So in order to survive in the tropical heat, it has to be anti-insecticidal, antifungal, antibacterial, and antiviral. And the humidity, it will just decompose. If it doesn't, it has to have those properties. So those are one of the properties.
Sarah, what do you think about seditious conspiracy?
I have no idea. What are you talking about?
Are you listening to the show?
No, she doesn't listen to the show.
She just calls into the show, doesn't she? She doesn't actually listen to it.
No, she just uses and abuses us here on Free Talk Live. I took Bonnie to the State House it was her first visit to the New Hampshire State House this week. We were going to testify about a bill to decriminalize psilocybin here in New Hampshire. And so, you know, I kind of taking her around, showing her the ropes, showing her how the, you know, testifying works. And, here's the form you got to fill out and all that stuff. Introduced her to a couple of state reps, because if you are in New Hampshire and you've been around for a little while, you've probably met some state representatives if you've gone out to activism events, because they come out to these things. A lot of them are freedom-loving libertarians who ran for offices like Republicans, and they're free staters, so they come to the events. So if you've been around, you've met a bunch of legislators. Like where I'm from, and I don't know what it's like in New York, Matt, but I imagine it's similar to Florida. The only time you ever get a chance to meet a legislator is when they're running for office and they need your vote. Then they'll show up at like some sort of public forum. They'll talk on stage. They'll glad hand the audience for 15 minutes afterwards, and they're gone.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, you know, in my particular situation, I ended up knowing a bunch of legislators in New York. Yeah, because I worked in restaurants and I'm a chef, and you're always going to go out. They're going to schmooze. They're going to come to the restaurant. They're going to go table to table, and they're going to come see me, and they're going to go, you know, pat the back of the kitchen guys, whatever. And I got to know a bunch of them, and I'll tell you what, I got to know some of them personally.
Now, you do have to keep in mind, whenever you read a government indictment, you're only getting one side of the story.
Yes.
And you're getting a very biased side of the story, where they try to paint the people that they're indicting as total monsters.
And it is written by absolute sociopaths.
Yep. It's written by people who are political, and they're attempting to, you know, put people in prison cells who are peaceful and essentially build a career off of doing that. The attorney generals or assistant U.S. attorneys and attorneys for the Justice Department, so-called Justice Department. But that said, the indictments do reveal how these investigations tend to go. And they have a bunch of allegations in them, obviously. Now, whether the allegations are true, you know, that remains to be seen. But it's not a surprise, as I'm reading through this here, about Stuart Rhodes and about 10 other people were rounded up and arrested. Presumably, they're still behind bars. I don't know. You know, I imagine they're going to take this very seriously. I mean, they held me behind bars for 2 months, more than 2 months, for, you know, alleged Bitcoin-related so-called crimes. They're saying these people were trying to take down the federal government. And supposedly, they allege that that Rhodes and his associates were planning on stopping the transfer of power on January 20th last year, when Biden took presidential office. Like, encryption's a good idea, and I agree with you, Matt, that people should get in the habit of using these tools every time, every conversation. Don't text message anyone anymore. Like, if there's somebody that you're texting with still, you need to tell that person to get on either Telegram or Signal or Matrix, whatever your preference is. You know, give them a choice or whatever. Use more than one of them. but get off of the texting, you know, SMS texting, completely unencrypted. All they have to do to get your SMS text messages is contact your cell phone provider and say, we want to get so-and-so's text messages, and they'll send them a whole list of them. So, whereas if you are on the encrypted messaging apps, it makes it a lot harder for them to get a hold of your conversations. In fact, in many cases, it makes it impossible, unless, of course, you are infiltrated, as we were pointing out here. And that's what they apparently did with the folks, Stuart Rhodes and 10 other people that were just arrested by the federal government gang and charged with things like so-called seditious conspiracy. They infiltrated their groups, they infiltrated their signal chats, and so they have the logs, the chat logs of all the things that were said in what these people believed was a closed group. And it was closed. It's just that the federal government people were inside when they closed
the door.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.